The Leggett Valley Unified School District Board met on the morning of August 1st to discuss and vote on a resolution regarding Whale Gulch School. The district's northernmost school in the Mendocino County-based district faces closure following the district's superintendent's interpretation of an education code that she believes leaves the district open to liability. The issues arose when it became time for the district to renew its lease with the Whale Gulch School Education Association, WGSEA, a nonprofit corporation that rents the Whale Gulch School site from private owners. Sierra LaHara, LVUSD superintendent, became concerned that the sublease property did not have the proper DSA certification and could jeopardize the district's insurance coverage of the remote site. Others have said that LaHara has misinterpreted the ed code, falsely telling the insurance company that the school site was out of compliance and essentially opening Pandora's box that has led the district's insurance to be wary of insuring the school, its board fearful of personal liability, and the future of Whale Gulch School and its students' education hanging in the balance. At the August 1st special board meeting, where Superintendent LaHara was not in attendance, Board Chair Jessica Romer summarized the resolution, apparently in favor of the document put before the LVUSD board.
The proposed resolution directs the superintendent to find ways to continue the World Goals program and bring plans and cost estimates to the board by August 13, 2024, with all haste so that the school can open on August 19, 2024.
The association had three speakers present during open comment to weigh in on the perceived compliance issues. Praj White, a civil engineer and former Whale Gulch School student, spoke about the DSA, Division of State Architect, government entity that provides design and construction oversight for K-12 schools, community colleges, and various other state-owned and leased facilities.
DSA is not in a position to enforce anything, and that this is truly a local issue. And when asked, they said, well, it's really the board here. And we asked Sierra who needed to get support and how we could resolve this. And they really pointed directly to you guys as the board and the decision makers. Wanted to touch on DSA's primary role is that they help administer public funds for publicly constructed projects. And the process is really detailed to pull to a very high standard of assurance that things were built correctly. So to get certified under DSA, first, we're not even sure that that's applicable in this case because it is a rural school, it is privately owned, and it has been in operation for a long time and really won't happen in a very quick time frame. If the funding was in place, it'd probably take at least 2 years to make that happen.
White discussed additional options to seeking the lengthy and cost-prohibitive DSA certification, including modular buildings and contracting a structural engineer for the state's program to work with existing public buildings on becoming compliant. The association then had lawyer Sarah Goldman speak to the board addressing the school's legal standing.
My name is Sarah Goldman. I'm a partner at Young Minion Corp. Our firm primarily represents charter schools, but we also represent school districts and private schools and universities in California, and I head up our facility practice. We have recognized that DSA never permitted these facilities, but that we do have permits that were issued by the County of Mendocino, both in the original construction of the facility and the later construction of the high school portion of the site. At the time, we also have a legal opinion from County Council stating that that was acceptable, and obviously this has been happening for the last 30 years. This is not a new situation. The law that I understand is being referenced to suggest that these buildings must be DSA approved is the Field Act, which is Ed Code Section 17280, which is a law that basically says school buildings in California have to be permitted, and if you're going to construct or repair a building, it has to be done through DSA. However, there are exceptions in the statute, the Field Act statute. It's not just one piece of law. And that if a school building is leased or is owned by the district, and it is determined that those buildings meet those standards, that they can be used, and that is deemed to be compliance with the Field Act. And if you look at the way this was done, this bill was passed in 2001. The Seismic Safety Commission in 2003 did make a determination that DSA should pass those standards, and DSA since then has been updating the California Building Code related to seismic safety standards for schools. And the way to think about this is there's the Division of State Architect, which deals with school buildings. If you are building a home or a business, you go through your local jurisdiction here in the county. The actual seismic safety standards that were in effect, both when the original school building was passed and when the high school building was built, and I consulted with a school architect on this, what he said to me is those were the same standards, the seismic safety standards that were in place at the time these buildings were permitted. And thus, there is an equivalence of a school safety standard in my perspective here, such that additional compliance with the Field Act and DSA is not required. I don't know what your legal counsel's position will be on that. I will defer to them on what their position is, but we believe that that in itself would be sufficient for now to allow this school to continue to operate while a further and more detailed determination is made.
One of the major hurdles that the board faces is reopening the school in a few weeks with varying information on liability issues. According to those in attendance, the district's insurance has stated they will not provide coverage to the Will Gulch site due to the lack of DSA certification, though others say the district's insurance only took that stance after Lahara told them that the school site lacked proper certification, though that remains unclear.
Everything I wrote, I kept circling insurance. That's the big issue. No matter who speaks, you know, everybody said something that was great. You know, I agree with everything that was said. The insurance is what's hanging me up.
Goldman, incidentally, a former board member of the insuring entity, said,
I do believe Nick Sig will allow you to continue to be insured under them. I was a member of Nick Sig's board, and their whole existence is to support schools like you. And it's my belief that if you were to return and request that your school continue to be covered, that you show that it is in compliance based on what we provided today, Nick Sig will easily continue to insure you.
WGSEA members said that even if the current insurance drops the district, there are other insurance companies willing to insure the site. Goldman, during her comment, stated that more than an insurance liability, the board had a responsibility to its Whale Gulch students, and the school closure could result in a larger liability.
A number of these students have IEPs, they're special education students, and the ability of the district to provide the necessary special education services to these students would be limited if they are not on campus. There is a discussion of possibly moving students to independent study temporarily. Students cannot be required to participate in independent study by law. And so that would not be a solution if parents work during the day and cannot supervise their students in independent study. That is not an option that can solve this problem unilaterally. And then just providing an education. That is this district's obligation. These 51 students are required to be provided an education. And a failure to do so is also going to expose the district to liability. So I think there's a balancing of the liabilities here that needs to be considered, given that this school has operated safely for the last 34 years.
Perhaps most compelling of all speaking on behalf of the Whale Gulch School Education Association was the former superintendent of the Mendocino County Office of Education, stating that the issues seem to arise from new administrators that are unfamiliar with small rural districts.
My name is Michelle Hutchins. I was the county superintendent of schools up until 2022. And since then, I've been working as a rural school consultant around the state. I've worked with several county offices of education. I've advised the California Department of Education. I've even worked directly with the governor. The community brought this resolution to my attention a few days ago. And when I read through it, my first thought was, oh no, here we go again. Every time you get a new superintendent that is new to the superintendency, that doesn't have experience coming into the job, that person questions the legality of the buildings on your site. It happened to me three times while I was your county superintendent. Each one of those times, they had to be advised of the uniqueness of the Whale Gulch School. The fact that the Whale Gulch School sits on private property and is leased is what changes and makes it an exemption to the DSA process.
Hutchins took issue with the proposed resolution paragraph stating, quote, whereas the board decision not to renew the sublease was based at least in part on new information that the buildings on the previously subleased site cannot house students until they are approved by the Division of the State Architect, DSA, as safe for school use pursuant to the earthquake safety standards found in Education Code Section 17320, also known as the Field Act, end quote.
What new information? Laws have not changed. The laws that were existing last year to this year are the same. There's not new building code or new requirements for this school to go through. No one has red tagged the building. No one has caused any alarm. So first I ask, what new information? And then this statement is just wrong. The site can house students today because you have gone through the appropriate processes that were required at the time of your district. All of those processes were appropriately followed. And then I go to the second paragraph on this page, and the last statement says, that the board is committed to exploring all possible means to keep it as available program of the district for current and future student while explore short and long-term solutions to bring the physical buildings into compliance with applicable state law. You are in compliance with state law today.
Additionally, Hutchins stated that the DSA certification is not necessary for the sublease property and said that such had been shared by the DSA itself.
Where it says, be it further resolved in order that the board hereby finds that DSA approval certifying compliance with the requirements of the Field Act is necessary to the safe and compliant operation of Whale Gulch School. That is not a true statement. The purpose of the Department of State Architecture is not to set different code standards for schools. We don't have higher codes than regular buildings. The purpose of the state architect is to make sure schools go through the right process, because they're using public funds. State architect has already determined they have no jurisdiction over your buildings. They've stated that to your superintendent. So you're under county code, which you follow. You've pulled all the right county permits. I have a letter here from Frank Zotter, which I believe is one of the attorneys that you're working with. This letter was written in 1996 by Frank, and it states in here that he has concluded that the county does have building jurisdiction, but not zoning jurisdiction, over the school buildings on the affected property. And so also his view of his conclusion that the county cannot require any use permit or variance because they don't actually have the zoning jurisdiction. So your own attorney has opined differently at a different time of year.
After comments ended, Romer found her board unwilling to put forth a motion. Without a motion, Romer insisted no discussion on the topic could be had. And without a resolution, Romer said, the board would be left without any path forward. After much hesitation, a board member finally made a motion to accept the resolution for discussion purposes. A second followed shortly thereafter, opening discussions.
I would like to propose that we formulate a plea that will enable Whale Gulch School to function as is. Mm-hmm. That I feel like we could move forward, we could focus in that direction. Obviously, there is room to still look for insurance, somebody who will cover our liability. That's the main concern here. Liability of the board, superintendent, the district.
Yeah, that students and anybody that's on the campus.
Yeah, so all of it.
Yeah. So I feel like there's still room for to research these options. I feel like this current resolution paints us into a box, and that's why I don't want to support it.
Another board member stated that all movement has been towards shutting the school down versus finding solutions, echoing the sentiments of many in the community.
As would I think we've heard a lot of information today. We've been really put off again and again and again throughout this process. We have had things happen that we asked to move forward and were blocked and told that they didn't have the time to deal with the situation. All of this new stuff has come to light. I think there's a lot of information to take in one meeting, and we may not even need to close the school. We will put in one track with one lawyer's mindset this whole time, with one superintendent's vision of what needed to happen. And I don't approve of either of those things.
The rift between the district admins and the Whale Gulch community is evident, as is the division among the board themselves, with the absent Lahara bearing the brunt of people's frustration as time ticks closer to the beginning of school year with no resolution in sight.
If these permits are okay for private property, then why are we seeking to open this other box? We need to accelerate this. This side of the team has already been working all summer. No one's had a break. Well, we've had basically the district hiring lawyers and dragging their feet. That's what we've seen. Time and again, the board has asked that these committees be formed and working, and I haven't heard much of anything come of them.
Ultimately, with too much dissension for a majority and new information presented to the board, President Romer moved to table the discussion as all parties agreed to form a committee to seek resolutions before the August 19th start of the school year. A letter sent to parents and staff to the LVUSD on August 2nd stated that Superintendent Lahara was on a leave of absence. Joni Potter, retired LVUSD superintendent with 39 years of experience within the district, will serve as the interim superintendent for the district in Lahara's absence. Reporting for KMUD, I'm Lisa Music.